66. To Madame C.H. D. Alchevsky. Petersburg. April the 9th, 1876. You write that I am squandering and abusing my talents on bagatelles in the diary. You are not the first from whom I have heard that. And now I want to say this to you and others. I have been driven to the conviction that an artist is bound to make himself acquainted, down to the smallest detail, not only with the technique of writing, but with everything, current no less than historical events, relating to that reality which he designs to show forth. We have only one writer who is really remarkable in that respect. It is Count Leo Tolstoy. Victor Hugo, whom I extraordinarily admire as a novelist, only think, Chuchev, who is now dead, once got positively angry with me on account of this view of Hugo, and said that my Raskolnikov was much greater than Hugo's Miserable, is certainly prone to be too long-winded in his description of details, but he gives us most marvellous effects of observation, which would have been lost to the world but for him. As I am now purposing to write a very big novel, I must devote myself most especially to the study of actuality. I don't mean actuality in the literal sense, for I am fairly well versed in that, but certain peculiarities of the present moment. And in this present moment, the younger generation particularly interests me, and, as akin to it, the question of Russian family life, which, to my thinking, is today quite a different thing from what it was 20 years ago. Also, many other questions of the moment interest me. At 53, I might easily, were I to slacken at all in this respect, fail to keep pace with the growing generation. Lately, I had a chance encounter with Goncharov, and I asked him whether all the phenomena of the present moment were comprehensible to him. He answered quite frankly that there was much he could not understand at all. N.B. This between ourselves. Of course, I know that Goncharov, with his remarkable intelligence, not only understands it all, but is competent to instruct the instructors of the day. But in the peculiar sense in which I put the question, and which he at once understood, he does not even desire to grasp these phenomena. My ideals and all that I have prized in life are far too dear to me, he added, and for the few years that I have yet to live, I mean to abide by them. It would go too hard with me to study these gentry, he pointed to the crowd that was flowing past us, for I should be obliged to use up in so doing the time which is so precious to me. I don't know if you'll understand me, revered Kristina Danilovna. I greatly desire to write something more, and to do so with complete knowledge of my subject. For that reason, I shall study a while longer and put down my impressions in the diary of a writer, so that nothing may be wasted. Of course, it's merely an ideal to which I aspire. You won't believe me at all, I dare say, when I declare that I haven't yet discovered the right form for the diary, and don't know in the least if I shall ever really succeed in discovering it. The diary might perfectly well run for 2 years longer, and yet be a complete failure as a piece of work. For example, imagine this. When I set to work, I always have from 10 to 15 themes available, but those themes which strike me as particularly interesting, I always save up for another time. If I make use of them at once, they take up too much of my space. They demand my whole energy, as, for example, in the case of Cronenberg, and the number turns out a bad one, and so forth. Therefore, I write of things that are not at all so near to me. On the other hand, the idea of making it a genuine diary was really naive in me. A genuine diary is almost impossible. It can only be a work cut about to suit the public taste. Every minute I come upon facts, receive impressions that often carry me away. But there are some things about which one can't possibly write. The day before yesterday, early, there come to me quite unexpectedly two young girls, both about 20 years old. They come and say, "We have long wanted to make your acquaintance." Everyone laughed at us and declared that you would not receive us, and that even if you did, you would not care to talk with us. But we determined to make the attempt, and so here we are. Our names are so-and-so. They were first received by my wife. I came out later. They told me that they were students at the Academy of Medicine, that there were at the Academy as many as 500 women students, and that they had entered there to obtain higher education, so as later to be able to do useful work. I had never before seen girls of that sort. Of the earlier nihilists I know a number and have studied them thoroughly. Believe me, I have seldom passed my time so agreeably as in the company of those two girls, who remained with me a couple of hours. Such wonderful spontaneity, such freshness of feeling, such purity of heart and mind, such grave sincerity and such sincere mirth. Through them I came later to know many such girls, and must confess that the impression they made on me was powerful and pleasant. But how am I to describe all that? Despite my sincerity and the delight with which I regard these young people, I cannot possibly do it. The impression was of almost too personal a nature. But then, what impressions am I to put down in my diary? Or another instance. Yesterday I heard the following story. A young man, a student at an institution which I do not wish to name, I happen to make his acquaintance, is visiting friends, goes accidentally into the tutor's room and sees a forbidden book lying on the table. He instantly tells the master of the house and the tutor is instantly dismissed. When, in another household, someone told this young man that he had been guilty of a base action, he could not in the least see it. There you have the reverse of the medal. But how am I to write about that? The thing is in one way of a purely personal nature, and yet the processes of reflection and the temper of that young man who cannot at all perceive the baseness of his action, about which I should have much of interest to say, are typical, wholly, and not personal at all. But I have written too much about this. The truth is, I find it terribly difficult to write letters. I have no talent for it. Forgive me also for the bad handwriting. I have a headache. It is la grippe. My eyes have been paining me all day, and I write this almost without seeing my characters.